Sri Guru Sri Juda Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vidam Tangsha Jivam Sadvitam Savadhutam Parijana Shaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamscha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dharma Prochita Kaitava Atra Parama Ninamat Saranam Satam Vedyam Astaram Bhatra Vashtu Shivadam Tapatrayan Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite Kingvai Para Ishara Sadya Ridhi Avarudyate Atra Kriti Vishushushri Takshanat Ata tvam ashino brahman Param atmam vipashchitam Vishvam rudra bhaya dvashtam Akutashchit bhaya gati Atha tvam ashino brahman Param atmam vipashchitam Vishvam rudra bhaya dvashtam Akutashchit bhaya gati Ata. Therefore. Tvam. You, my Lord. Ashi. Are. Naha. Our. Brahman. O Supreme Brahman. Padma Atman. O Supersoul. Vipashchitam. For the learned wise men. Vishvam. The whole universe. Rudrapaya. Being afraid of Rudra. Dvashtam. Annihilated. Akudashchit Paya. Undoubtedly fearless. Gati. Destination. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as the Supreme Brahman and the Supersoul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything, for the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination of all. Purport. For the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, there are three lords, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Maheshwara. The material body is finished at the time of annihilation. Both the universal body and the small unit, the individual living entity's body, are susceptible to annihilation at the ultimate end. However, the devotees do not fear the annihilation of the body, for they are confident that after the annihilation, they will go back home, back to Godhead. Tyaktva deham, puna janma nayati mameti so Arjuna. If one strictly follows the process of devotional service, he has no fear of death. For he is predestined to go back home, back to Godhead. The non-devotees are fearful of death because they have no guarantee of where they are going or of the type of body they are going to get in their next life. The word Rudra Paya is significant in this verse because Rudra himself, Lord Shiva, is speaking of fear of Rudra. This indicates that there are many Rudras, 11 Rudras, and the Rudra, Lord Shiva, who is offering this prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is different from the other Rudras, although he is as powerful as they are. The conclusion is that one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra because each and every one of them, each and every one of them is engaged in the destruction of this cosmic manifestation. But for the devotee, everyone is afraid of Rudra. Even Rudra himself. A devotee is never afraid of Rudra because he is always secure, being protected by the lotus feet of the Lord. As Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Konteya pratijanihi Na me pokta pranashadi. My dear Arjun, you may declare it publicly that my pure devotee will not be vanquished under any circumstances.
Prabhupada ki.
Mukam karadi bachalam. Pangum langayate girim. Jat kripa tamaham bande Sri Gurun dinatarinam. In the third line, Vishvam Rudrabhaya. The whole universe is afraid of Rudra. Even the Rudra who's speaking. Vishnam, the whole universe is afraid of Rudra. Because Dvashtam, the principle that Prabhupada explains in another place in Srimad Bhagavatam, about the Rudra principle. The Rudra principle is the principle of destruction. As Prabhupada comments, these three guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. So Brahma for creation, Vishnu for maintenance and Lord Shiva for destruction. So Prabhupada explains that actually the principle, the Rudra principle is manifest throughout our environment. Whenever we see anything decaying, finishing, destroying, degrading, wearing out, this is all the influence of the Rudra principle. And Lord Shiva, he is responsible for this aspect
of the material world, destruction.
And everything in the material world ultimately is destroyed. Abhyakta adini bhutani, abhyakta madhyani bharata, abhyakta nidhanani eva. Tatraka paridevana, in the second chapter of Gita, Krishna explains, from the unmanifest, avyakta adini bhutani, vyakta madhyani bharata. Everything becomes manifest for some period of time. Vyakta madhyani, in the middle it's manifest. Avyakta nidhanani eva, and again it becomes unmanifest. Tatraka paridevana. So what's the point in lamenting over losing anything? Because everything is destined to be lost. This is jnana, Krishna's teaching Arjuna, the temporary nature of this world.
Everything is destroyed,
without exception. Anittam, Ashukam Lokam, Anittam. Anittam, Ashuk Lok. This world is a temporary place. Anittam, there's nothing permanent here. Everything is destroyed. So this is the cause of the anxiety or the fear of the living entities, because everything will be taken away. It's only a matter of time. Therefore this world is called Kunta and the spiritual world is called Vaikunta, without anxiety, because things are permanent. So what is the anxiety? If there's nothing, you're not going to lose anything. There's no anxiety. That's Vaikunta, without anxiety. But here is Kunta, is full of anxiety because it's only a matter of time before everything is lost. Health, wealth, reputation, facility, everything, finance, relationships, everything. Now, of course, the materialistic people they tend to not dwell on this. And if we expose this imperfection of the material environment, the materialists, they don't like it, and they say, you're being overly pessimistic, why don't you look at the good side? But we call that avidya, we call that ignorance. You're not actually seeing the reality. This is not pessimistic. What is that? Dukkha dosh anudarshanam. In the 13th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, you should see the misery and the imperfections repeatedly. Anudarshanam, constantly. You should constantly be focusing on and be aware of and be conscious of the dukkha and the dosh, the suffering and the imperfections of this world. That's Krishna's recommendation. However, the materialist, anybody here speak Mandarin? Any Mandarin speakers? Mandarin? No, it doesn't look like it. So anyway, there was I used to go to Taiwan, to Sankirtan, some period ago, and we found that what we would be going into office buildings. So I noticed after some time that there was no fourth floor. There was no fourth floor in the buildings. It would go ground 1, 3, 5. I couldn't work this out. I used to think what happened, you know, the fourth floor was kind of demolished or something. And then repeatedly every building you go into, there's no fourth floor. I couldn't work it out. And then one time one of the devotees, or not actually a devotee, it was a person, explained to me that in Mandarin, the word for four sounds similar to death. The word for death. The word for four sounds similar to the word for death. So therefore, so is that in order to avoid having to think about death, by having, you know, the saying this word that kind of that sounds similar to death, I wish we had someone who knew the word, if they could give us the detail on it. You can ask later, so many Mandarin speakers here, what's the word for four, and what's the word for death? So that nobody wanted to live on the fourth floor. It's kind of these people, they're all into feng shui and all of these things, you know. No one wanted to live on the fourth floor, ill omen. So they thought, oh, okay, we'll just delete the fourth floor. So this is the approach. We'll just take away everything that reminds us of death in the material world. We'll just hide old people, we'll put them away in the old people's homes, the old people. And diseased people and hospitals, they're all off in the. You have to make a special visit. In fact, they only have visiting hours in the modern civilization. All of the signs of death are all hidden away. Makeup and hairstyles and colouring, hair colouring. Stop the grey hair. Old people, hospital, nursing homes. Get them out of our sight. It's all young people. Do you ever see advertising all the old people coming? Buy this, buy that. No, it's all young people, full of life. Oh, you need a new washing machine. Oh, you need wheel surf. You need wheel soap powder. Oh, you never see some old lady there. So anything that reminds us of death, we try to hide it away. It's illusion. We try to increase the illusion. Now they're the compulsory demands of material, of conditional life are fourfold. Aha nidra bhai maitun. Aha nidra bhai maitun. For both humans and animals or beasts. Aha nidra bhai maitunam cha samannam etat pashubi naranam. For animals and beasts, they all have to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Compulsory. Our philosophy is that we've fallen into this material world and we're manashashtan indriyani karshati prakriti shtani karshati. And Krishna explains in Gita that in the prakriti, the living entity, purusha prakriti shto, when a living entity comes in contact with the prakriti and is situated in the prakriti, then prakriti shtan karshati. When you're situated in the prakriti, you have to struggle. Now people may ask, well, I'm not struggling, but actually this is how you can identify to people how we are struggling, that we're constantly having to fulfill these four demands of aha nidra bhai maitun. We have to eat, we have to sleep, rest, we have to defend, and we have to mate. And these are the bonds of this material world. Anyone who has a material body is obliged to fulfill these demands without exception. Even the transcendentalists. But at least our program is, the materialists, they think that to try to enjoy these or to try to do these things, they think that doing, the more you can eat, the more successful you are in life. The more you can eat. Kind of people in India tend to have this idea, you know, that the more you eat, the more you can enjoy. You know, big breakfast, again, big lunch, whenever you go place in the host, they want you to eat so much and enjoy more. Sleep more, long rest, no alarm, sleep. mating, I have so many wives. No restriction. So this is actually enjoyment in the material world. This is the level of ignorance that the suffering, they take that to be the enjoyment. The actual bonds of our suffering, the things that are actually causing us to struggle, materialists think that's pleasure. Eating, mating, and sleeping. They have a whole big room called the bedroom. Curtains and nice colours and a big bed, you know, Posturepedic and a big bed companies. enjoy your sleep. This is the suffering in the material world. Now, at least transcendentalists, we can't completely stop these things, but they have to be reduced as much as possible, as the example of our Goswamis indicates. Nidra hara vihara kari vijito. They conquered over sleep. Nidra, ahar, they conquered over eating. Nidra, ahara, vihara, they conquered over sense enjoyment. No need of entertainment for the senses. Nidra, ahara, vihara, kari, vijito. They actually became free from having to fulfill the demands of these principal laws of every conditioned soul. So they're meant to be role models for us. So actually, the transcendentalists, our program should be to gradually reduce the time we spend in aha, nidra, bhai, and maitun. In eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, we have to actually reduce the time we spend on that, because actually it's not really valuable for the soul. All the eating we do, all the sleeping we do, all the defending we do, actually it doesn't really have any value for our spiritual development. It's just a compromise that we have to fulfill as long as we have a material body. So we should try to reduce that, bring it to a minimum level of to be able to maintain the body, minimum level, and not unnecessarily waste time in aha, nidra, bhai, maitun. So in any case, Prabhupada comments that of the four, the paya factor is the most prominent. Sometimes we're hungry. Sometimes we're sleepy. Sometimes we're lusty for mating. Some people all the time, I guess, but sometimes. But everybody all the time is afraid. Why is that? Because of this is the prabhav of the Rudra principle. Because this Rudra principle of destruction is always acting. We tend to forget it due to conditional life. Bhogashaya prashaktanam taya parita cheta. Because of too much enjoyment, that cheta becomes kind of dull. Ah parita cheta. It becomes covered over. And we think, everything's fine. As they say in Australia, no worries, mate. No worries, mate. It's full of worries. Kemon achi na bhalo achi. How are you? Yeah, I'm fine. How can you be fine? Everything is going to be taken away. Everything's going to be... I've forgotten about that. That's why I'm okay. I forgot that everything's going to be destroyed. That's why there's no worries. Yashta mudha tamodha okay. Yashta buddhi paramgataha. Tvabhubhe sukham edite lokam. What is that? That everybody in this world is suffering except two types of people. The transcendentalist and the person in the gross ignorance. Because the person in gross... Yashta mudha tama. The most foolish. He can't see the suffering. He can't see the predicament. And the transcendentalist is transcendental. But most people, they're, that's the happiness of the material world. Completely forget the actual predicament we're in. So people don't think they're afraid all the time. They don't think they're afraid. But actually they are. I have an interesting way of explaining this to you. It's on the subconscious level we're actually afraid all the time. But consciously we forget or we don't feel it. We used to travel on the trains in India overnight. You know, you have to go overnight train. Now I don't travel so much in the train overnight, I haven't in years. Because of, you know, airlines much cheaper now. But I used to suffer so much travelling on the train overnight. First because it's racketing and noisy. I don't know if anyone else had a similar experience, but this is my experience in the trains. I would be sleeping. And you're there with your luggage, right? And your luggage is all chained up. You know, you chain it up, they sell chains on the stations. I had these big, nice Australian, you know, locks and everything. You lock up all your luggage, and you're sleeping, even you're sleeping with your legs on your luggage. I don't know if anyone had a similar experience, but I would repeatedly wake up and be in complete anxiety. Is my luggage there? As soon as I wake up, I'd immediately, is my luggage there? I don't know if anyone else had a similar experience like that. And it would haunt me. It would haunt me. And I'm remembering it now because just a couple of weeks ago I was in Bangladesh also traveling on a launch. They have these launches, big boats, big launch. And they go overnight from the Dhaka down to these remote villages. Sometimes you hear on the news that they get overcrowded, and they get, especially in the cyclone season, in the monsoon season, and they sink. And you hear on the news 800 people died in a Bangladesh, a ferry sunk. So one of those I'm traveling on. There's all the people, we get a cabin, but all the normal people, they just go on the deck, you know, they just pile hundreds and hundreds of people in, no limit. Anyway, they just sleep all over the place. They overcrowd them and they sink. So I was in the cabin, and the window was not so secure, and a little kind of latch on the door. I was sleeping. But then during the night, I'd wake up and immediately, you know, you carry your passport in these, like, security wallet. All the foreigners know security wallet. Anyone carrying a security wallet now? Maybe a few people, maybe a little embarrassed to put your hand up under the dhoti. So I'm feeling, where is the security wallet? It's like I was haunted. I took it off. I put it under the pillow. And what happens? Someone steals the passport. You know, you're finished. What happens? You feel your passport. You know, what a disaster. There's a great fear. No, Prabhu, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, but we're afraid of losing our passports. Well, that's okay. It's spiritual. Well, actually, in the spiritual existence, you don't need a passport. This is the price we have to pay for accepting a material body. You have to have a visa, you have to have a passport. Sometimes you're wondering, you know, it's in here and against your skin in the security, and maybe the perspiration in the summer, it'll seep through the passport, and then all the visa ink will get smudged. One devotee I was with one time, he took bath in the pukur in Bangladesh with his security wallet. I came out, all the visas were just like, you know, a smudge. So we're in anxiety. We're wondering, you know, what will I do? Will I keep my passport in my room? But, you know, maybe someone will break into the room. Or will I carry it on my person? But, you know, in this country, people will kill you for a passport. In this country, nighttime, someone will come. They don't even care how much money you've got. They'll just kill you and then search you. And whatever you've got. A few hundred rupees. They'll kill you for a few hundred rupees. In this part of the world. Sangashan Nidai Prabhu. Does it happen? It can happen. Yeah, because we have security. Why do we have security everywhere? Security! Because of the buyer principle. We have to put effort into it to protect ourselves. Even Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, said to Ishan, "You fool, why are you carrying all this money? The thieves, they'll do their tantra mantra, they'll find out." So we're considering, what will I do? Will I hide my passport here? Will I carry it here? Will I give it to somebody else, the Almira? Or maybe the management people, maybe they'll steal it. The buyer principle, you can't avoid it. Credit cards, I lost my credit card. Because everything's going to be lost eventually, it's only a matter of time. And there's so many things that could go wrong. Actually, this is the place where things will go wrong. You can expect things to go wrong. Because padam padam yadvi padam. At every step, there's the possibility of something going wrong. So doesn't that cause us anxiety? If you become a little aware, then you'll be in anxiety. The materialists, they're so covered over, they're so... Their minds are so dull that they forget that this fear. But actually, this fear principle is constantly victimizing us. And so, This is the point that Rudra is making in the verse here. There's only one class of people who can actually attain real fearlessness. And there's a verse here. Akutaschit bhayagati. The last line. Akutaschit bhayagati abhay. That is the path of fearlessness. Prabhupada says, you are the fearless destination of all. The destination of fearlessness. He's praying. Rudra is praying. Is shelter of the Lord. The same words were used actually another time by Rudra in Bhagavatam. Narayana para sarve nakudashchana bibhyati saga apavaga narakeshu api tulyata darshana. Same speaker, Rudra, Sri Rudra. And in this situation, he's speaking to his wife Parvati in the sixth canto. There was an incident where Lord Shiva one time was addressing the siddhas and charanas and munis and rishis in the mountainous regions, and he was discussing Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva, and Parvati. Well, he was associating with Parvati at the time of having this satsanga, this discussion of Bhagavatam. Parvati was sitting on his lap, and all the sages and charanas and siddhas and rishis were sitting listening to Lord Shiva's, he's a Mahajan, Swayambhu, Narada Shambhu. He's a Mahajan on the principles of devotional service. So he's describing Bhagavad Dharma. So at that time, Chitraketu was a devotee. Chitraketu had been given so much blessing, he could travel around in his airplane in the sky, and he was traveling overhead, and he saw this Lord Shiva with Parvati sitting on his lap, giving this Bhagavad Alochana. And then Chitraketu, seeing this, he was kind of amazed, and he laughed loudly. He laughed loudly. It was like he was amused, fascinating. So hearing his laughter, I say it's described that Lord Shiva, he's dhira, he's tolerant. Lord Shiva, he didn't get affected at all. He didn't react. But the anga andini, the better half, oftentimes they will get upset more quickly. And so Parvati, she immediately got angry. Who do you think you are? Don't you know who my husband is? Don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know who my husband is? He's Mahadev. He's the greatest of all the demigods. Those who are very powerful, for them there's no fault. They can do anything and there's no fault, because they're so powerful. Lord Shiva, he was able to sustain a whole ocean of poison in his throat. Who can do that? He's so powerful. So something like that is no fault. To jiya samna doshe, those who are extremely powerful, that for them there is no fault. So Parvati, she cursed Chitraketu, that you have to take birth as a demon. So then, at that time, Chitraketu, he came down, and he willingly accepted that curse. And this was astounding to all the sages and charanas and siddhas, and Parvati Devi also. She was astounded by this. So at that time, Lord Shiva, he began to describe the qualities of a Vaishnava. And he spoke this verse, Narayana para sarve, those who have taken shelter, Narayana para, those who have made Lord Narayan the supreme object of their concentration and the supreme focus of their life. Narayana para sarve na kutashchani bibhiti. For them, the same word, kutashchani, the place, their bibhiti. There's no place of fear for them. There's no fear for them. Svarga apavaga narakeshu. Either in heaven, apavaga, liberated, narakeshu, or even in hell. Api tul arta darshana. They consider it tulyata, that it's equally valuable. No place is particularly more valuable than another, because every place is the same. We'll simply carry on with devotional service to the Lord. So they don't particularly favor any place, nor do they particularly fear being in any place, because even they'll just carry on with service of the Lord. Even if it just means Vishnu Smaranam. Even if it just means remembering the Lord, or chanting about the Lord, or hearing about the Lord. whatever condition of life they're in, whatever position they're in, they're not afraid because their capacity to serve the Lord is not jeopardized or not compromised. So there's no fear for them. So Lord Shiva, he was explaining to Parvati, therefore Chitraketu is not at all in anxiety or fearful about accepting this curse that you've... In fact, whether he's cursed or not, for him it doesn't make any difference. Because even if he becomes a demon, he'll still serve the Lord. And actually he did, as Bhrudrasura. He became a great demon and fought with Lord Indra, but that Bhrudrasura, he was actually a great devotee. So what was the harm in becoming a demon and accepting that curse? Because he just continued with his devotional service. So this is described as the akuta chit bhaya gati. This is the actual path of fearlessness. Taking shelter of Lord Narayan and taking shelter of the service of the Lord. This is the only... Therefore Prabhupada says in a purport, if one strictly follows the process of devotional service, he has no fear of death. For he is predestined to go back home, to Godhead. The non-devotees are fearful of death. So there's a little story that Prabhupada would often narrate in this connection about a sage who gave four different types of benedictions. Would you like to hear that story? It's relevant for this. Our devotee has no fear of death. Prabhupada's saying this is the it's relevant for the topic of the akutaschit bhayagati, the path of fearlessness, the path where there is no fear. So the sage was, he met these people in the forest. The first son was the Rajaputra, a prince, and he said, Rajaputra Chiranjiva, oh son of the king, prince, you live Chiranjiv, you live a long, long life. Because, okay, he said, Rajaputra Chiranjiva, son of the prince, you live a long life. And then he met the Muniputra, the son of the sage. And he said, Muniputra Majiva. Muniputra, you die now, die immediately. And then he met the butcher, Jiva, what was that? Vamara Marawiti. Butcher, don't live, don't die. And then he met a sadhu, devotee, Jiva Vamaro Sadhu, live or die, same for a sadhu. He said to the sadhu, Jiva Vamaro Sadhu, you live or die. Live or die. Jiva Vamaro. Live or die. So then someone was hearing this sage give these different benedictions, and after they said, Rishi Ji, can you please explain? You gave these different benedictions to the different people. So he explained, Rajaputra Chiranjiva, that for the prince, because he's leading a life of such sensual indulgence, without any restriction, he's exhausting all of his previous pious activities and gradually they're burning up, and very soon he's going to have to suffer all of the reactions for all of that illicit enjoyment. So therefore, Rajaputra Chiranjiva, live a long, long life, because when you die, then you're going to have to go to suffer all of the reactions for your illicit sense gratification. So let's make that, let's delay that for as long as possible. That's his blessing. I bless you to delay that for as long as possible. Muniputraka, Majiva, and son of the Rishi, you die now because you're performing such penances and austerities. You're accumulating such merit that when you die, you're going to be awarded such happiness, if not liberation to the Vaikuntha realm, you'll at least go to Svarga. So why wait for that? Muniputraka Majiva, you take that now, you die now, you can immediately enjoy that, either liberation or heavenly happiness. And then the butcher, Marova Jivaiti, you don't live and you don't die, because your living is full of suffering and misery. Cutting up animals and rotting flesh and corpses and suffering. And after you die, then you're going to be the one who's being cut up. So you're going to suffer. So living and dying is so don't live, don't die. And Jiva Ba Maro Sadhu. For a devotee, you live or you die, it doesn't make any difference. So my blessing to the devotee is you live or die. Because it is irrelevant. Because in living, you're going to serve Krishna. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. You're going to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna. And when you die, you're just going to continue with the same thing. So what difference does it make? So where's the anxiety for a devotee, for death? Pratyaksha Bhagavan Dham Susukam Kartam Abhyayam. Susukam Kartam Abhyayam. And this devotional service, it is full of happiness. Susukam Kartam Abhyayam. Everlasting. It will not end any time, even at the change of the body. And it's Prabhupada. So this is the actual, on the basis of this understanding, the devotee can remove the sense of fear, even if we lose our passport. We get put in the jail. Well, we can still chant Hare Krishna. We lose all our money. Well, we can still chant Hare Krishna. We still remember Krishna. We can still bow down to Krishna. Remember Krishna. We lose our health. We lose our wealth. We lose our position, our office, our influence. We lose our body. It doesn't matter. We still can remember Krishna. So actually, as Prabhupada says, that the message for today is actually, if one strictly follows the process of devotional service, he has no fear. We have to actually practice this now. This is the whole point of the practice, sada, abhyasa, yoga. We have to actually practice serving Krishna. We have to practice serving Krishna. It's not so natural to us because we're diseased from so many lives of forgetting Krishna and material life. We have to practice again to serve Krishna. And if we can bring that ananya cheta satadam yomam smarati nitya shaha ananya cheta satadam, if we can without all the time ananya, without anything else in the mind, ananya cheta satadam yomam smarati nitya shaha, remember Krishna. Ananya cheta satadam yomam smarati nitya shaha, if we can remember Krishna all the time. And we do that in so many ways, like we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll go take darshan, we'll chant Hare Krishna, we'll take some prasadam, we'll go and do our seva. Actually, it's not so difficult to remember Krishna all the time in a place like Sridhar Mayapur. You really have to go out of your way to try to forget Krishna. Because it's just everywhere. It's prasadam, devotees, tilak, temple, kirtan. I mean, this is actually what the whole purpose of the dham is, to actually make it easy for us to remember Krishna. and become mature, become nishta, fixed up in remembering Krishna by residing in the Dham. Even if we're not in the Dham, when we go out, we should have the same mood. Everything Krishna. Ananya cheta satadam yomam smarati nishya shaha. All the time remembering Krishna without any other ananya cheta. And Krishna says, tashaham sulabha. For them, sulabha, I am easy to attain. Sulabha, I am easy to get. Tashaham, for them. Tashaham sulabha pārta. For those people, pārta, I am easy to attain. Nitta juktasha yogina. Because they're always connected. They're connected everything to me and they're always engaged in my devotional service. So we have to practice. That's the whole point. We have to take advantage of this opportunity. Sāveshu kāleshu mama nushmara. Yudhya. Go about our business and all the time remember Krishna. Try to remember Krishna. My arpita mano. Offering our mind, maya arpita mano buddhi, our mind and our intelligence to Krishna. That means we chant Hare Krishna, we think of Krishna, we remember Krishna, we hear about Krishna, we meditate on Krishna philosophy, Krishna pastimes. Maya arpita mano. We offer the mind to Krishna, manmana, think of Krishna. Maya arpita mano buddhi. We offer the intelligence to Krishna. How can I serve Krishna? How can I increase my service to Krishna? How can I spread Krishna consciousness to others? That's buddhi, thinking. How can I offer the intelligence to Krishna? Maya arpita mano buddhi mami vai shashi ashamshai. Krishna says, you will attain me without doubt. This is the process. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment on today's verse? Read the verse again. My dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you are the Supreme Brahman and Super Soul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything, for the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination of all. Pragatmika Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhu. You said that without exception, all living entities in a material body must engage in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending without exception.
Yes.
Would a Naistika Brahmachari be an exception?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Also, you said that...
Well, actually, that's what it means, Brahmachari. It means this. That's what it means. Brahmachari means they're not really in the conditional platform anymore.
Would you say time factor is synonymous with the Rudra principle?
Actually, yeah, there's more on that. Brahmachari, that's the idea that all the eating... Same the time, Carlo Schmidt. Another question?
Prabhu, I just wanted to understand differences between Prakriti and then Maya and then Pradhan. Like, are they related or do they all come under one?
Prakriti, Maya, and Pradhan. Not exactly the topic of today's verse. So we'll pass on that one.
And another question. You are mentioning about fear, how it is very prominent. And you are mentioning about the subconsciously we are afraid. The consciousness is part of the spirit soul. We are always conscious. And where is the subconsciousness coming from? Like, is there any shastric reference for the subconsciousness?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Subconscious. Maybe it's not subconscious. Actually, there is there's different stages. Like there's sleep, deep sleep, and that's described. You know, so kind of like that half sleep stage, awakening. You feel the fear. My point was, when you wake up, oftentimes you feel fearful. Any other question? Yes, Mataji.
You mentioned about Lord Shiva, and just now when you were answering to Ragadmika Mataji, see, you were mentioning that Lord Shiva is... Well, he's almost same category as Krishna, no? He's another tattva, he's not Jiva tattva, he's not Vishnu tattva, but still he feels fear.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So I don't have any additional comment on it, but Prabhupada said in the purport that he feels fearful of the other Rudra. Mahajangri Prabhu.
Different activities, it doesn't seem to mention what they're doing, why there's this many expansions, and they're all rudras.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the 11 rudras, what their different functions are, and if the Sankarshan rudra is predominant. I was trying to do a bit of research on it, but I couldn't really find that much. But there seems to be one predominant rudra from whom the other. Another question? Yeah, well, that's what it says here. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally distributing prasad, then, well, you get as much as you can. Well, you can look at it from different angles. It's prasad, so we accept Sayanamrita Pao. Krishna Bora Doyamoy, Kodibada Jivadoy, Swaprasad Anna Dilobai, Sayanamrita Pao. It's the consciousness that we accept that this is Krishna's mercy. Sayanamrita Pao. We accept that prasad. It's coming, it's like being offered, we accept prasad. And that's Vaishnava culture, we accept prasadam. But I don't want to take it to the extreme that, you know, we're spending hours and hours every day arranging for eating. It can be minimized. That's it. As the example, we gave the role model of the Goswamis. They're meant to be role model. Gradually, Prabhupada says, you know, gradually we should reduce to as nil. So that's it. We're looking at, I mean, we can look at different angles, we can look at different aspects of Shastra and say, well, you know, we can take prasad, so let's just sit around all day and take prasad. But that's not what the Goswamis did. They reduced their eating and they Sri Gauranga Guna Navanana Vido, Sradha Samridyan Vido, they discussed about the quality of Gauranga Guna, the qualities of Lord Gauranga, Radha Krishna Guna Smriti, and discussed about Radha and Krishna. And that's it. And their prasadam intake was to a minimum. So that's evidence enough that this is ideal. This is desirable. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gopimanandi Hari Hari.